Okay, well, God bless all of you in the powerful name of that carpenter from Nazareth that we're still serving and waiting to see a return on the white horse. I believe his name would be Yeshua, right? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're joined tonight by the Rooster Crow and the Scooter Show. You want to say hi, Uncle Russ?
Hey, God bless. Good to see all you guys.
Yeah, we've got the devil caught in a crossfire. Russ is sitting at the high top of the Rocky Mountains, and I'm sitting high top of the Appalachian Mountains, and we got the devil caught in a crossfire. So it's going to be a good night tonight with our webcast. I will jump off and lead here, Russ, and you jump in with anything that you've got to share or anything that you have contributed to this. Last week in our webcast, I taught on the identity of Melchizedek. And boy, what a fabulous piece of work that has been. I've gotten reports on it from people that heard the teaching throughout the week, and I'm really, really excited about continuing to build upon that this week. And so, as you can see from the title that's on our webcast main page here for our webcast here tonight, that I wanted to do the title of what I wanted to share tonight on the God that can't be seen. And this is really a continuation, which would sort of be more on Melchizedek, but also maybe a subtitle rather than more about Melchizedek. I'd like to do this as about Abraham. And in the discovery that Melchizedek is in fact the patriarch Shem, the son of Noah, as we read about, this is in Jasher 16, 11, and 12, which is the first verses that's in your printout here. It says, "And Adonizek, king of Jerusalem, the same with Shem, went out with his men to meet Abram and his people with bread and wine, and they remained together in the valley of Melech." That's why he would either be Adonizek or Melchizedek of the valley of Melech. "And Adonizek blessed Abram, and Abram gave him a tenth from all that he had brought from the spoils of his enemies, for Adonizek was a priest before God." And I pointed out in our sharing last week that when Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek, to Shem, it wasn't just an empty offering, or it wasn't just something that Abraham did because this guy came out to see him and he was king. Melchizedek, and the fact that we now have him identified as Shem, the son of Noah, we also have documentation from the historical book of Jasher, which we're reading from here, that in fact Abraham, when he was a child, was hidden by Noah and Shem and was trained as a young man. Now, this lays the foundation for where I want to go tonight in our teaching, because if there's no direct connection between Abraham and any of the patriarchal fathers, be as it Noah or Shem or Eber or any of the rest of them, then it looks as if Abraham was a guy that all of a sudden erupted out of this Shemite bloodline, who had a belief in a God that you couldn't see. Now, this God that you can't see, when we connect the dots between Abraham and going back to Shem and then to Noah, this takes us all the way back into the origin of the believers and of the belief, going back to Noah, going back to Methuselah, going back to Enoch, going back to Lamech, going back to Jared, going back to Mahalalel, going back to all the way back to Adam, that there was the knowledge of the God that can't be seen. And the reason that this is such an important deal is because Abraham is the father of all of them that believe. And what he believed is of such fundamental importance because he believed in a God that he could not see. And what I want to show you tonight, and you can look at the this usage, the next usage on your printout, that the Lord appears to Abraham, to Abram in Jasher 13, verses 2 through 4, And we'll read that at the end. But what I want to show you tonight is that Abraham, and this is all according to the book of Jasher, which again is quoted in the book of Joshua and also in 2 Samuel as being a very reliable historical record, that and according to the historical record in the book of Jasher, that Abraham was the man that did not follow in the belief and the worship of idols. And what I want to show you tonight in the historical development was that the Lord finally appeared to Abram and changed his name to Abraham and gave him the promise of being the blessing, and that his seed would be more than the sands of the sea and more the stars of the heavens, because he is the one that embraced the belief in the God that cannot be seen. And this was in the middle of idol worship that had come into practice during the time before Abraham's birth, between the time of the flood and the time of Abraham. So what I want to show in this is that there's the connection between Abraham's belief in the God that can't be seen, and we know his name now is Yahweh, but his name was not revealed then, and actually our God and Father, whose name is Yahweh, he did not reveal his name to anyone until he revealed it to Moses years later when Moses penned it. But there's a number of sections that in the book of Jasher that I think will add a lot of great credence to the things that I'm saying, and also give a greater understanding of why it is that God loved Abraham so much, because Abraham's lineage had lost the belief in the God that can't be seen. This from the beginning of Adam down through Seth and Enos and through all down through to Enoch, the seventh from Adam. And then Methuselah, and Noah, and Shem, and Arphaxad, and Eber, and all the way down through this believing line, the belief in the God that cannot be seen was lost. And it was lost right at or about the time of Serugal, S-E-R, or Serug, and the name Ru, as you go through the lineage of the believers that was in Abraham's bloodline, you find out that they had, in fact, lost the belief and the following of the true God. I've got another apocryphal book that I want to read to you out of the book of Jubilees. This is in, excuse me. This is in chapter 11 of Jubilees, and if I can find it here, it says that in verse 4 of Jubilees 11, I'll find it here in a minute. That talking about the Ur, the son of Kadesh, built the city of Ara in the Chaldees and called its name after his own name, the name of his father. This is verse 4 of Jubilees 11. It says, and they made for themselves molten images, and they worshipped each the idol, the molten image which they had made for themselves. And they began to make graven images of unclean simulacra, and malignant spirits assisted and seduced them into committing transgression and uncleanness. And then it says, and the prince Mastema exerted himself to do all this, and he sent forth other spirits, those which were put under his hand to do all manner of wrong and sin and all manner of transgression, to corrupt and destroy, and to shed blood upon the earth. For this reason he called the name of Serug, Serug, where every man turned to do all manner of sin and transgression, and he grew up and dwelt in Ur of the Chaldees, near to the father of his wife's mother, and he worshipped idols, and he took to himself a wife in the 36th Jubilee. And this is the beginning of where idol worship came into play. And then in verse 8, and this again is in Jubilees 11, verse 8, and she bare him Nahor in the first year of this week, and he grew and dwelt in Ur of the Chaldees, and his father taught him the researches of the Chaldees to divine and augur according to the signs of heaven. Then it goes on to say that then she bare Terah, and Terah was the father of Abraham. So we know that for three generations previous to Abraham, that his fathers had fallen into idol worship. And this was directly contrary to the teachings that Noah and Shem, and obviously Eber, had done for Abraham as he was growing up. And we see this happening in Jasher chapter 9 and verse 19. This is the next verse that's on your readout. There's an interesting storyline that I think bears mentioning here about Abraham that we learn from the book of Jasher. And if you focus on Jasher from the beginning, like chapter 7, and go up through chapter 16, you see the fabulous life, the life of Abraham, and how Abraham was pleasing to the true God. And the beginning of Abraham's life shows that he was a prototypic example of Jesus Christ, in that when he was born, his father Terah, according to Jasher chapter 7, verse 41, was a leading counselor and military man in the kingdom of Nimrod. And when Abraham was born, the night he was born, there was a major celestial announcement, and the others of Nimrod's counselors was at Terah's house the night that Abraham was born. And then according to chapter 8 in the book of Jasher, these individuals went back and told Nimrod that there was a celestial occurrence announcing the birth of Terah's son, and that he would become a powerful man in the earth and would destroy Nimrod's rulership, and that Nimrod should in fact kill him. And all this is in chapter 8 of the book of Jasher. And Terah, Abraham's father, as opposed to bringing Abraham to him, brought to him the baby of a servant girl, and Nimrod killed the baby, thinking that he had killed Abraham. And then Abraham and his mother went and hid in a cave, and this is where he was sustained and taught and mentored by Noah and by Shem. And I'll pick this up in Jasher chapter 9 in verses 5 and 6. We read this last week, but I want to read it to you again. And when Abram came out from the cave, he went to Noah and his son Shem, and he remained with them to learn the instruction of the Lord and his ways. And no man knew where Abram was, and Abram served Noah and Shem his son for a long time. And Abram was in Noah's house 39 years, and Abram knew the Lord from 3 years old, and he went in the ways of the Lord until the days of his death, as Noah and his son Shem had taught him. And then it goes on, listen to this in Jasher 9, verse 6, as Shem had taught him, and all the sons of the earth in those days greatly transgressed against the Lord, and they rebelled against him, and they served other gods, and they forgot the Lord who had created them in the earth, and the inhabitants of the earth made unto them at that time every man his god, gods of wood and stone, which could neither speak, hear, nor deliver, and the sons of men served them, and they became their gods. And this is the belief that Terah had fallen into. And when Abraham was trained by Noah and by Shem, he was trained in the right ways of God. Later on in the life of Abraham, as you begin searching out what all he did, he was an amazing man, and he actually had to confront his father relative to idol worship. And when you go through and read on in the book of Jasher, it chronicles Abraham's trials in embracing his father's belief in idol worship. He would set food before the idols, and they wouldn't eat. And then he figured if he could bring a hatchet into them and chop them up that they would protect themselves, and that didn't work. So finally, according to the Book of Jubilees, he burned his father's house, and in the process, his brother Haran was killed in the fire. It's a little bit different than the account of the Book of Jasher, but nonetheless, they both concur that Abraham was very much an idol smasher. He really hated idol worship. And while talking about going against the traditions of the fathers, here's his earthly father that's got idols. And here in Jasher chapter 11 and in verse 20, this says, in verse 19 of Jasher 11, and you've got this on your printout where Abraham's fathers had begun worshiping idols. It says in Jasher 11, verse 19, and Abram asked his father, saying, Father, tell me, where is God who created heaven and earth and all the sons of men upon the earth, and who created thee and me? And Terah answered his son Abram and said, behold, those who created us are all with us in the house. And Abram said to his father, my Lord, show them to me, I pray thee. And Terah brought Abram into the chamber of the inner court, and Abram saw, and behold, the whole room was full of gods of wood and stone, 12 great images and others less than they without number. And verse 21 says, and Terah said to his son, behold, these are they which made all thou seest upon the earth, and which created me and thee and all mankind. And Terah bowed down to his gods, and he then went away from them, and Abram his son went away with him. Well, the story continues that Abraham, in his response to his father saying that these gods, that these idols were the ones that had created them, he took it upon himself to disprove that they couldn't possibly be created by an idol. This is the same attitude that I had when I was in India looking at these idols. Anything that I can destroy obviously can't be God. And anything, like, you know, people worship rats and monkeys. Well, you know, how can you worship a rat or a monkey if you can take a club and kill it? I mean, that is contradicting the purposes as far as being God and being omnipotent and all-powerful. But when Abraham saw these usages and the worshiping of idols, he began trying to do what he could to convert his father, and the best thing he knew to do to convert his father was to burn his idols and destroy his idols, and to prove to him and to show to him that idol worship was not the right way to live and not the right way to conduct his life. And see, this is what about Abraham that God loved. And whenever it says in the Bible that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, what this means was Abraham believed in the God that he could not see. Because by the time that he made his introduction into the world around 2000 B.C., at or about the time of Nimrod and maybe a little bit before, as you see, as we read in the Book of Jubilees, where Abraham's lineage began to follow after idols, there apparently, from everything that I can look in the apocryphal books, there was no belief in the God that can't be seen, that it was totally lost until Abraham came along. And Abraham was the spiritual son of Shem. And Shem and Noah have taught Abraham about the God that can't be seen. And this is a usage that we'll see here. Also, another quotation from the Book of Jasher. And again, I hope that you can read these on the printout that you've got in front of you, rather than for me to just go through here and begin or be quoting text to you that you don't understand. Well, after Abraham had confronted Terah, his father, and the worship of idols, excuse me, and Abraham tried to convince his father otherwise, It says in Jasher chapter 9, verse 19, and here this is on your printout, after Abraham had been confronted by his father with idol worship, then in Jasher 9:19, it says, and Abram said unto himself, surely these are not gods that made the earth and all mankind, but these are the servants of God. And Abram remained in the house of Noah, and there knew the Lord and his ways, and he served the Lord all the days of his life, and all the generations forgot the Lord and served only gods of wood and stone and rebelled all their days. And so it's very obvious that somewhere through all this, excuse me, old man Nimrod was very instrumental in this idol worship. And but anyway, so the God of Abraham, who is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who is the God that Moses references, that is the God that we believe in, this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the God that can't be seen. And the reason that God had such hope and such trust, or such Abraham's life was so pivotal, is if Abraham had not believed God, then apparently the whole truth of the knowledge of Yahweh would have been lost. And it would have been lost beneath the rubble of idol worship. Now, idol worship is an interesting thing altogether. I believe that idols have two origins. Number one, that they're replicas of the gods that came down, of the watcher angels that came down and impregnated women, and they became the great mythological gods of the ages, and so these were replicas of them. And also, I believe that idolatry, idols, also had their origins in replicas of the pictures in the zodiac, where they were physical things that were made. And of course, if you remember the laws that were given through Moses when the Word of God was finally penned, to not have any graven images to bow down before, and this is where the belief in the true God that you can't see, that it had it not been for Abraham, this belief in the true God could have totally been lost from the knowledge pool of mankind. But so now we have the belief of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in this true God, and in this the God that we worship, that's not the God of idolatry. This is what and the God that's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was a very, very, very pivotal time in the history of the world, knowing first of all now that Shem was the bloodline of Abraham, that the Shemites that God chose to have the Christ line born through. Well, if Abraham had not turned back to the ways of Noah, Shem, and Eber and worshiped the God that can't be seen, and if Abraham had gone into idolatry, then potentially Isaac and Jacob and the entire believing line of Israel would have been lost in believing in the true God Yahweh. So this thing that Abraham did was awesome. And so when it says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, it's an interesting play on this. The word Melchizedek and Adonizedek, those root words means righteous. And so in that Adonizek, the name of Shem, Adonai is the word Lord, and Melech is king. So Shem was the figure of the king of righteousness and the figure also of the Lord of righteousness. And because Abraham believed on the God that Melchizedek or Adonizedek taught him about, the God that can't be seen, when it said that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, what it means is he believed in the God that he could not see, which now this begins to become a much bigger deal when you realize that he had, in fact, committed himself to a God that he can't see, when he was going to offer Isaac. Now, this is years after Abraham had the confrontation with Terah, his father, about idols, but Abraham could see the fallacy in worshiping idols. Of course, you know, there's a little trick in the worshiping of idols that not many people understand and realize, but when you bow yourself down before graven images, you open yourself up to any spirit that that image represents, and you become open for demons, you become open for the worship of fallen angels, if those idols represent that. But blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and blessed be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who was the God of Noah, Shem, and Eber. And Abraham is the one that believed in the God that can't be seen. You know, this is real interesting that after Abraham goes through these things, and we read about when he destroyed his father's idols, and let's pick this up and read this off of your verses that I've got here. This is in Jasher 11, verses 33 through 38. And when Abram saw all these things, his anger was kindled against his father, and he hastened and took a hatchet in his hand and came into the chamber of the gods, and he brake all his father's gods. But that made his daddy mad. And when he had done breaking the image, he placed the hatchet in the hand of the great God which was there before them, and he went out, and Terah his father came home, for he had heard at the door the sound of the striking of the hatchet. So Terah came into the house to know what this was about. And Terah, having heard the noise of the hatchet in the room of the images, ran to the room of the images, and he met Abram going out. And Terah entered the room and found all the idols fallen down and broken, and the hatchet in the hand of the largest, which was not broken, and the savory meat which Abram his son had made was still before them. And when Terah saw this, his anger was greatly kindled, and he hastened and went out from the room to Abram. And he found Abram his son still sitting in the house, and he said to him, "What is this work thou hast done to my gods?" And it's he did. He broke them down, and he tried to show to his father that worshiping idols was a foolish thing. And it is. I mean, I remember walking into a temple in Rameshwaram, Tamil Nadu in South India, and walked right in the temple and in defiance of all the little short Hindu priests out there that was trying to tell me that I couldn't go in there. And I walked right up to one of their idols, and I'll never forget the cold, clammy stone, you know, and you had to take your shoes off walking in there. And I walked right up to that idol and spit on that sucker. And, of course, I was sort of doing it in defiance of everything, even those individuals that were standing around me. But, you know, just thinking about this, what does a god, I mean, if these gods are so awesome and so powerful and so big and so strong, how come they don't do something about it whenever you defame them? Well, the fact of the matter is they don't, and they can't, because the God that you can't see is the God that we serve. So, again, I mentioned to you that Abraham is the father of all them that believe. He is the one that embraced the belief in the God that you can't see. And having gone into the book of Jasher and read these accounts and what we see from Jasher and Jubilees and cross-referencing it, of course, to the Bible, you find out that God blessed Abraham in a big, 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 big way, because he believed in God that you can't see. So that's what I wanted to tell you about, that Abraham was the one that saved the belief in Yahweh, that it was basically dead and was gone and was lost until Abraham believed him. And then what I wanted to show you, the last thing here about Abraham, was that it was after Abraham, of his own volition and his own accord, had taken the stand against the idols that's recorded in Jasher chapter 13, the report comes that God appears to Abraham. So in other words, after Abraham proved himself worthy and believed in the true God, then is whatever God appeared to him. And the book of Jasher accounts that he appeared to Abraham at least six, maybe seven times. But let me read this whenever he appears to him. This is the second set of verses that's on your scripture printout. And this is after Abraham had taken the stand against idol worship. And it says in verse 2 of Jasher 13, "And the people of the land of Haran saw that Abraham was good and upright with God and men, and that the Lord his God was with him. And some of the people of the land of Haran came and joined Abram, and he taught them the instruction of the Lord and his ways. And these men remained with Abram in his house, and they adhered to him. And Abram remained in the land 3 years, and at the expiration of 3 years, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, 'I am the Lord who brought thee from Ur of Chasdom and delivered thee from the hands of all thine enemies. And now, therefore, if thou wilt hearken to my voice and keep my commandments, my statutes, and my laws, then will I cause thy enemies to fall before thee, and I will multiply thy seed like the stars of heaven, and I will send my blessing upon all the works of thy hands, and thou shalt lack nothing.'" In other words, the blessing of God that came to Abraham was after Abraham had taken the stand against idol worship and had voiced and decreed his belief in the true God that you can't see. You know, and this is the God that we believe in. And, you know, idols of the heart are idols nonetheless, and physical idols of stone are idols as well. But Abraham embraced the belief that he learned from Noah, from Melchizedek, or Shem, and from Eber, that the true God was the creator of the ends of the universe, and he is a God that is spirit and that you can't see, and that he is not a worshiper of, and that Abram was not a worshiper of idols. You know, there's an interesting account that happens after Abram appears, after God appears to Abram and blesses him. The Abram begins to walk in favor with God. And it wasn't long after Abraham had gone over to Ur of Chaldees that God appeared to him. And then he went over to the land of Canaan, as the command was for him to go to the land of Canaan. But he hadn't been there very long until the great famine came, and he went down to Egypt. And when Abraham went down to Egypt, understand that now, because he had believed in the God that he couldn't see, and the God that he couldn't see, whose name we now know as Yahweh, had blessed him and told him, "I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you." So Abraham goes in into Egypt, and where he said that Sarah was his sister. And in the process of the Pharaoh thinking that Sarah was his sister, he went to put forth his hand to touch her. And according to Jasher 15, verse 23, "And the king approached to speak to Sarah, and he reached out his hand to touch her, when the angel smote him heavily, and he was terrified and refrained from reaching to her." And so the story goes on that you read about this in Jasher and also in Jubilees, that God put the whole house of Pharaoh under a curse for touching Abraham's wife. Well, why? Because God had promised to bless them that blessed him and curse them that curse him. And, you know, this is the blessing of Abraham that we all have on us now, according to Galatians chapter 3, that the blessings of Abraham might inure to the Gentiles who received the promise of the Spirit through believing in Jesus Christ. You have the same kind of blessing on you that Abraham had on him. And that is, God blesses those that bless you, and he curses those that curse you. So in the account with Abraham and Sarah dealing with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, God Almighty smote Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and put him under a curse. And so he went, the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, went to Abraham and said, "What have you done? You have put you put us all under curse. Please take and go and take all these things. And the way that Abraham made all of his original money was it was a payoff from Pharaoh to get Abraham to leave Egypt and to remove the curse that God had put on him because he took Sarah. Incidentally, it also says in Jasher, in chapter 15, in verse 31, we'll read verse 30, and it says that Pharaoh says to him, "Now therefore, here is thy wife, take her and go from our land, lest we all die on her account. And Pharaoh took more cattle, men servants and maidservants, and silver and gold to give to Abram, and he returned unto him Sarah his wife. And the king took a maiden, whom he begat by his concubines, and he gave her to Sarah for a handmaiden." And that's where Hagar, the Egyptian, came from. That this was all in an attempt for Pharaoh to appease the God of Abraham, whom he had insulted and offended by touching Abraham's wife. You know, if we had this kind of faith in the God that is not seen, that this is the God that we serve, that he is that the God that we serve is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was the God of Abraham and is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who is the God of Noah, Shem, and Eber, who is the God of Adam and Seth and Enos and all of the patriarchs, that this was the true God that created the ends of the universe. And aren't you thankful to Abraham that he embraced the fact that his father's idol worship was a sin and a transgression in the sight of God, and even went against the commandments of his fathers and destroyed their idols in an attempt to serve the true God. You know, it says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so Abraham had faith. Abraham had faith in something that he could not see. Now, isn't that the basis of our belief in God? That he is the entity, the creator, who is spirit, according to John 4:24. And Abraham embracing this belief in the God that he could not see, in one sense, and I'm not limiting God to Abraham, but it appears in this sense that Abraham was the major hinge pin that kept the entire world from falling into idol worship. Oh my goodness. But then because Abraham honored God and believed God, God prospered him, blessed him, and the first indication of this was whenever he went to Egypt and Pharaoh tried to put his hands on Sarah, but this is where Abraham walked away from Egypt with a pocket full of cash. And actually the Bible tells us this at the end of Genesis chapter 11, where it begins to talk about, or maybe it's at the end of Genesis chapter 12, talking about Abraham and the fortune that he had amassed. It was due to the beginning escapades of the blessings that Yahweh had put on him because he believed in him, and God rewarded him with the blessings. If you look at the end of Genesis chapter 12, it says in verse 18, "And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had." This means all that Abraham had, but he also sent him away with, well, you see this up in verse 15, "The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys, and camels. But then when the Lord plagued Pharaoh, he gave Abraham even more." And then it says in verse 13, "Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold, and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel." But it says here that the reason that he had the resources and the blessings that he did is because he got them from Pharaoh. Well, why did he get the blessings from Pharaoh? Because God had honored Abraham because he believed in him, in the God that he couldn't see, the God that he can't see. And Abraham believed in him. He trusted in him. He taught it to Isaac. Isaac taught it to Jacob. Jacob taught it to his 12 sons. And this became the lineage of the believers in Yahweh. But I'm going back to this. Abraham's father, Terah, and Nahor, his father, and his father, and his father before that. And we don't know about the fathers before that, but at least four generations back, Abraham's forefathers were idol worshippers. And here comes Abraham, even in the fourth generation, and believes in God. But I'm telling you, the hard wire back to believing in God was his mentorship and his training by Melchizedek. And Melchizedek was the priest of Yahweh. See, this is it. Shem and Noah are the ones that taught Abraham about the God that you can't see. The reason I kept saying he taught him about the God that you can't see because they didn't know his name. They just knew that he was the creator. God didn't choose to reveal his name to anyone until he gave it to Moses some 500 years after Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Well, this is what I wanted to say tonight about this, and it was sort of a little more on Melchizedek, but about Abraham. Abraham was a righteous man. He was a man that feared God and that he could see that idol worship was definitely not the truth and the way of life because he was greater than the idols. He could chop them up with a hatchet, or he could burn them with fire, he could knock them down, and there was nothing that they could do about it. And so, in fact, we don't know what happened with Terah, if he ever repented, or the other of Abraham's lineage, what they decided to believe in, and who they decided to follow. You know, we can still see the vestiges of idol worship when it gets on down further into Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when Jacob left the house of Laban and had Leah and Rachel with him. Rachel took Laban's idols and hid them underneath her saddle. And so you can see that idol worship was even in Laban's line, and Laban was of the same lineage as Abraham. They were all out of Mesopotamia, but Laban was worshiping idols. Well, why should you be surprised when you realize that that Sarah's father, Haran, was an idol worshiper, and the other brothers in Abraham's family were idol worshipers as well. And so Abraham was the real patriarch. I mean, and we look back on this now, and then we really marvel at how great Abraham's life was and what he meant to people, because he believed in the God that you cannot see. The God that you cannot see. So, I believe Brother Martin Erb just told me that we had lost Uncle Russ on the phone. Are you there, Russ? I guess he dropped off the line here. But one way or the other, what a fascinating understanding that it is. Whenever you finally connect the dots between Melchizedek and Abraham and the overlap of their years. You know, there's some discrepancies between the book of Jasher in the chronology and the timing of Abraham's birth and Noah's death. But it's very apparent that anyhow that that Shem and Abraham overlapped in their lifetimes and in their lifespans, because Melchizedek was Shem. And Shem, again, this amazes me. The reason he's called after Melchizedek, the priest after old Melchizedek, with no beginning and no end. He was born before the flood, which nobody had any knowledge of, and he lived to see 27 generations of grandsons, meaning that he had no end. So what a fabulous ministry Shem was. And you know, of the Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the Shemite bloodline is the one that God chose to bless. And Noah did too when he blessed his sons, and thank God for the blessing that inured and came all the way down to be finally birthed in the incarnate Word, who we know as Yeshua HaMashiach, the son of the unknown and the unseen God Yahweh, and Yahshua, in fact, is the manifestation of Yahweh. So thanks be to God for Abraham's faith. Thanks be to God for Abraham to stand against the error of four generations of idol worship and to bring back into popularity, into believing, the knowledge of the God that can't be seen. He obviously introduced it to Isaac, to Jacob, to the 12 patriarchs, and then from then on, the believing that came down to the Jews, and as it was penned in the Pentateuch by Moses about not having any graven images to fall down and worship them. But we have all this to come back to Abraham. And so now you know, when you read in the Bible that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, what it means is he believed in the God that he couldn't see. He believed in the God that he couldn't see, that he had the power to raise Isaac from the dead, even when Abraham offered him as an offering. This is serious, serious, serious faith in believing in the God that you can't see. Well, praise be to God for his wonderful grace and mercy. And again, just to remind you that after Abraham believed in God that he couldn't see is when God appeared to him and gave him the promise of blessings, that he would bless those that blessed him, curse those that cursed him, make his seed as the sand of the sea and as the stars of the heavens. But he blessed Abraham because he believed in him. And listen, so much more the same for you, that we embrace a God who is a God of invisibility. Of course, maybe you've heard the old saying goes that an atheist is an individual that has no invisible means of support. Well, that is our support, is the invisible God. And what a blessing it is to know him. What a rich heritage we have in the Word of God. What a rich understanding we have in the Word of God. What a blessing it is to have these additional apocryphal books that augment the understanding that we have in the Bible, that we know that Abraham amassed his fortunes because he believed God and God blessed him. He believed God and God blessed him. Abraham was the recipient of money that he didn't work for, that it was a device that God had planned to make Abraham a very, 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 very wealthy man. And he walked away with a bunch of Pharaoh's goods and a bunch of the wealth of Egypt and established his lineage in the land of Canaan. So, well, we thank God for the understanding that we have from his word. And how much deeper we'll go into this, I don't know, relative to the studies in the book of Jasher. But one of the things that I'm interested in the book of Jasher, it says that Terah had 12 great gods, and I believe that the 12 great gods that Terah had were gods that came out of the zodiac. And this would make sense if Terah was, in fact, a commander in Nimrod's army, that Nimrod was a major follower and a teacher and perpetrator of astrology and sun, moon, and star worship. Well, praise God for this understanding. Thank God for the faithfulness of Noah, for the faithfulness of Shem, the faithfulness of Eber, and the faithfulness of blessed Abraham, who brought the entire world back to the knowledge that there is a God that we can't see. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God of Jesus. He is the God of Paul. He is my God and your God, and we call him Yahweh. And he is the God that you cannot see, but you are under the covenant blessing of Abraham. He blesses those that bless you, and he curses those that curse you. So never forget that of all the titles that anybody could ever wear, the greatest one is child of the true God. And you have this because of what Jesus Christ did. And we thank God for Brother Abraham, who had the belief in the God that he could not see and delivered his generations and the generations to come from idol worship and allowed us to operate under the Abrahamic covenant blessings of God blesses those that bless us and curse those that curse us. So we have Brother Abraham to thank for all these things. So it's been a good evening tonight talking about the God that can't be seen. And remember this when you share this with your children, that it was Patriarch Abraham was the one that recovered this lost insight and brought it back to the world. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the God that cannot be seen. And bless faithful Abraham for helping us to maintain this promise that we have. And now finally knowing his name as Yahweh, as Moses revealed it, but when Jesus Christ came to the earth, he revealed his true name to us, and that is Father. So, Father, we thank you tonight for your wonderful word. Thank you, Father, that you have preserved your word and kept it safe. Lord, we employ tonight the understanding of the Christological hermeneutics and seeing Jesus in the priesthood of Melchizedek. And we also see Jesus in the life of Abraham, that you likewise died believing that the God that you could not see would raise you from the dead. And likewise, we have that faith in the invisible God that can't be seen, but we know and have seen his manifestations and in his works, and we embrace that he is the true God, Yahweh. We honor our father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all the patriarchs of all the believing, even all the sages of the ages that's brought us your word, to the end that today we can say we believe in a God that we cannot see, and we know his name is Yahweh. Bless us, Lord, and bless them that bless us. Bless us, Lord, and curse them that curse us under the blessings and promise and covenant of Abraham, that we are the apple of your eye. And because of this, we have the blessings that come from you, and we are thankful that we have these works, just like Abraham. Abraham received blessings for which he did not work for from Pharaoh, and we received blessings from you that we don't understand either, because we served the invisible God that we cannot see. We love you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you are the Word in the flesh, that you are God incarnate, that you came to the earth represents the Father in all his splendor and glory, and reveals to us the God that cannot be seen in the Messiah that can be seen and has been seen. So we give you honor, praise, and glory tonight for the revelation of your word and the understanding that you are the God that can't be seen, but you are the God that precedes sight, and you are the reality of all realities, and we love you for this. We give you praise and glory and honor tonight, and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless all of you. Thanks for joining with us. This, again, will be available on the archives if you want to check it out. The download for the book of Jasher is on our archives from last week. If you click on it, you'll be able to click on the link that will take you directly to our website. You can look up these apocryphal books and other ones. So enjoy your reading and have fun with your research and understanding the deeper things of God. We praise the Lord whom we can't see, but we know he's there because of the manifestations all around us. God bless you. Good night. Love you. Thank you, Martin Erb, for helping make this available. And Russ, as you're listening, God bless you. Sorry we lost you in the webcast, but we'll be looking forward to getting you online next week and hear some more from the Rooster Crow and the Scooter Show. We love you all. God bless you. Good night. Love you.